I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Steve Wallace. He is the CEO of Back to Basics Revenue Company, also known as B2B Rev. Steve works with growing SMBs on the practical side of revenue, outbound to the right people, pipeline development systems, networking that actually turns into opportunity, and the kind of consulting that helps leaders know exactly what to do next. Steve's work is especially relevant for business owners, marketing agencies, financial service firms, where consistent pipeline discipline can make or break growth. I know Steve personally. I've known him for a year and a half. He's a good man with powerful insights. Steve,
thanks,
welcome.
Craig. Thanks, man. I'm excited to be here. And likewise, back at you, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's tell folks where we met. You're the one to blame. You're the one to blame. I was living a perfectly good life. I was very happy. And you and I met, and you sent a private message. You and I met at somewhere called Success Champions Networking, and you sent a private message to Donnie saying, "Hey, I think I found your next president."
Yeah.
Next chapter president.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I started having Jessica reach out to me. "Hey, you should become president." I'm like, "Nope." And she comes back again. "You should be launch your own chapter and be president." I'm like, "Nope." And Donnie, I was visiting another chapter. Donnie was in there, and I see him on the Brady Bunch screen. And all of a sudden, I get a message over LinkedIn. He's like, "Man, you should start your own chapter." And I was like, "No." And then a few minutes later, when I ran into another conflict, I messaged him back. I said, "Let's talk." And so that's, but anyway, you're the one that set all that in motion.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I think the short answer is, and you're to blame for this, is you and I sat down and we had what I would call an innovative talk. And I was like, this guy has way too many creative, innovative, and entrepreneurial anti-establishment ideas, like ideas that don't want to be universally adapted, right? Really, really good ideas. And I think that would make you quite a maverick and quite a great leader for the right group. So you're to blame for that, Craig, for sharing those ideas.
Well, I appreciate it.
Of course.
So, we were talking a little bit about your little sales journey a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And, I look at people like Michael Dell, so I, all the way up until December, I lived right next to Michael Dell's ranch.
Yep.
And the dude, when he was in high school, he was making in the early 80s, he was making $45,000 a year. He was making more than his teachers. Mm-hmm. He had built a team. He was selling newspaper subscriptions.
Right.
And he figured out that the time that people are most likely to buy a newspaper subscription was after a death or a marriage. And so he recruited a team to go into the courthouses, pull records, report back to him, and he'd sell the subscriptions. And the dude was making $45,000 a year in 1980.
It's wild.
And I look at people like him that just have the gift, and it's not me. I think the story for most of us is much, much more rugged story. You told me enough that your story is a lot more rugged than Michael Dell's path.
Oh, for sure. And can I just say, like, I wish I had the creativity and ingenuity of people like Michael Dell. My father ended up working for him, by the way, few years before he retired. Yeah. Quick segue. But, I did not have it so easy. I did those creative and innovative or, moonshot type of ideas did not come to me. The grind started early for me. And I think the short version of it, if that's what you're asking me for, Craig, is I started in 100% commission, open to close and service the account, financial services, life insurance, health insurance, disability, and financial services. And don't get me wrong, I love the industry, still have ties to it. And I did pretty well for the first year or so, like rookie of the year type of numbers, and hit some leaderboard charts. But after this first like rotation of clients came in, I started to find and like stumbled into a handful of like we would call them whales. One of them would pay a year's worth of bills for me as a 20 something year old. You know what I mean? That whatever those bills were pretty low, but it was a decent size for me. The thing is, once you start working with clientele like that, they're not looking for a transaction. They're looking for trust, relationship, consultative sales. And Craig, the only reason I stumbled into those opportunities was because I just worked really hard. I didn't have the sales skills back then at all, right? I knew product. They trained on product. So what ended up happening was I take these opportunities to leadership and I say, hey, I have this one and this one and this one. And they're all big. I'm really excited about them, Craig. Each one of them like bigger than the previous. And leadership looked me in the eyes and they said, let me know when it's real, Steve. And right there created this moment that I kind of stand on for the rest of my career, which is I didn't get the leadership I needed. I could have left. I could have sought out another opportunity. I didn't. That's on me. But the rest is history. I chased those whales, didn't land them, as opposed to continuing to do the work that had made me a moderate success up to that point. My car got repossessed. I didn't have a car or a vehicle to get to and from my agency. Didn't have the equipment I needed. Trying to keep up in a career that was quickly evolving in technology. And man, I went into this like depressive cycle where I was no longer able to do the work because I couldn't go see clients. Virtual work wasn't a thing back then. I remember one of my last sales appointments, Craig. I rode my bicycle to the corner. A block away from the actual client I was going to, because I didn't want them to see that I didn't have a car, show up all sweaty in a suit that was like, the shirt was hanging out a little bit. And that was how I cut my teeth in sales, Craig, through grunt hard work and learning the hard lessons. And I'll pause for questions or however you want to go from there.
Well, there was one thing that you talked about in there that I think a lot of people miss. I think they know it, but they don't practice it. And you said, the sales were transactional, they weren't relational.
Right.
And for those that are still trying to catch up, what's that mean? What's the difference between transactional and relational?
A couple things, and I don't want to go too far too fast, but a couple things, right? I associate relational and consultative to be almost hand in glove, right? They're slightly different, but hand in glove. Transactional to me at the time was, hey, you need this, you can buy this. Right, really, really simple. Very little follow-up afterwards. It was leading with product first, right? I knew they needed it, they bought it. Relational was, Craig, if you and I were working together, what's the likelihood that I sit down and enjoy a steak dinner with you? You know what I mean? That's the kind of relationships that almost every professional I know really wants. And I didn't have that yet, right? I was all about product. I was all about pushing the sale. I didn't know any better. But deep down, I'm a relational seller. So I had polarizing ideas driving my sales decisions. And guess what? It doesn't work out that way.
I got on a call with a couple of fractional or infinite bankers,
Yeah.
and it was a 45-minute call, and they did at least 35 minutes of the talking, at least, if not 40 minutes of the talking. And the first one came up and starts talking about it, and it's like, oh, it's all about arbitrage. It's all about arbitrage. And I asked this question, and it was like, well, if I'm going to put $100,000 in my business, why don't I just put $100,000 in my business as opposed to buying whole life, which is going to be a lossy transaction? and have less than 100,000 to put in my business. And she sighed. And the dude stepped in. He's like, here, I'll try it. And he goes for another 15 minutes. And then I asked the same question because he hadn't answered it. And
Right.
he says, well, I can see I just wasted my time. And but these, you know, it's funny. You were talking about you were brought up in financial products. These are people selling probably some of the same financial products you were selling.
The exact same ones I was selling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had access to all the same stuff that those had, that they had.
And I'm sitting there, I'm listening. It's like, you guys haven't asked me any questions. I'm the one asking the questions. And you guys are doing all the talking. And the one question I ask, you try to make me feel I'm stupid for not understanding your arbitrage crap.
Gaslighting. Such a great professional tactic.
But the, you know, it's, and you know, on you know the back to basics, it's you know it's one of those basics. People buy from people they know, like, and trust.
Correct.
You know what I run into in the marketing world? When people are buying marketing, 100% of the time they want to buy transactional marketing. We're going to spend money today. We're going to run these transactional ads, and guess what? Google pay-per-click or pay-per-click ads are like the ultimate transactional ad. I'm looking for a lawnmower or whatever,
Right.
and up comes all these ads. Well, we'll sell you a lawnmower,
Bingo. Yeah.
and that's
Great
what
point.
everybody wants to buy. And I'm like, if you're selling some little knickknack that you can buy on Amazon for $10, fine. But if you're selling something, anything of value, you got to buy relational marketing. And I don't think people understand the difference. They want that immediate return. And I truly think, I'm not trying to besmirch people. I don't think they understand the difference between the relational and the transactional in sales or marketing.
I would assert, Craig, they've probably never been asked what options they prefer expressed in a way that relates to them. For
Yeah.
example, hey, Craig, would you prefer to get to know somebody and decide for yourself if this is even somebody you want to continue to exchange money and time with? Or would you prefer to never talk to anybody ever again? No problem either way. Just let me know what you prefer. Right? There's a. You know which way I lean. I know which way you lean, but not everybody subscribes to that. But I think perhaps people have never been given that option before.
That's an interesting perspective. It's an interesting perspective. Well, and one of the ways I look at it is like, do you want more of the least profitable, least loyal customers, which are your transactional customers,
Right.
or do you want more of the most profitable, most sticky clients, which are going to be your relational ones?
Right.
Which do you
I would
want?
prefer I want the relational ones. I want the ones that are going to stay with me forever. I
Yeah.
want the ones that look at me as the driver of their growth, that the one that gave them the ideas for growth, helped them through the execution of it, who look back to me and say, "Hey, Steve, so glad you got me where I am. Where are we going next?" I want the ones who are going to refer me to even more business. You know what I mean? Like, I want everything. I want the world, man. You know, and not for selfish reasons. I want impact. I want to see them on a podium someday preaching about how far their business has come. I can be in the background. I don't care. I just want to see them succeed.
So how did you had been brought up in a transactional world, and guess what? I mean, the financial industry, especially insurance products, they have these transactional machines that just pump out hundreds of salespeople every year.
High churn and their top product, not sales, not relationships, not networking, their top product. So I can see how one causes the other pretty easily. But you were saying, go ahead.
Now, how'd you figure out that you were taking the wrong approach, and how did you get to the right approach?
Really fast. Really fast. Because what I was told, right, this is kind of part of the story, what I was told by any agency I went to was they would do product training. Here's a sales concept, and they'd jump right into a product, right? I was part of the business planning team and did pretty well with it. And we jumped right into product. One small sliver of exit planning, for example, right? And here's the product we'll use to get there. And here's the sales concept wrapped around it. You see what I mean? They started on a product and they designed a sales illustration or a sales method around it, right? And I'm listening to this and I'm like, explain to me how this benefits the client first, right? Like if you've ever read How to Win Friends and Influence People or have studied influence at all, really, you rule number one is give them what they want as fast as possible. Start there, right? And you will leverage that relationship quite literally. They will think of you as a high value asset in their mind for putting them in the position they're in. And I couldn't reconcile these two ideas, Craig. I'm like, how in the world can I influence people, be referred by them, be connected to more people like them if I'm starting with product and designing a sales process around product? So I thought to myself, I'm at my first networking event ever. And I remember I'm talking with a friend of mine still today. We still work together. And it was one of the first people I was ever introduced to. And he says, Steve, what do you do? And I'm like, well, hi, Steve. I was sorry. Hi, Rob. I'm a financial representative with blank company. And I sell life insurance and disability insurance. Are you well insured? And I'm like, this isn't my style, Craig. Like,
Right.
right. It felt terrible just coming out. And that was the moment I'm like, I this is not going to work for me. I love the industry, but this style is not going to work for me.
Yeah. I was doing, I think it was a virtual coffee with somebody, and doggone, at the end of the call, the dude pitched me insurance. And but I think that's that world. They just drive it in. Everybody needs insurance. And when you meet somebody, ask them if they need it.
I want to zoom out from financial services for a second and set the stage or set the table.
Yeah.
This isn't just insurance and finance. If you are positioning your product from moment one with somebody, you're missing out on so many more opportunities. It's really important to just look at somebody and try to identify or discover who are they in your network. Are
Yeah.
they somebody you should lean on for more introductions to high value people? Right. And if that's the case, don't ruin it with a sales pitch. They're gone. Right.
Right.
So discovery needs to evolve.
Well, and one of the things that was hitting me as you were talking was I can see how people fall into that trap.
Easily. Sure.
Starting with pro because
Guilty. I've done it. I'm not like nobody's perfect. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
well, I mean, if you let's say you're somebody who built a product and you've run into these people, hey, I have this product or my service that I made. You believe in it, obviously you do, because you've devoted a lot of sweat, blood, and tears to it.
Sure.
And it's so easy to start with product rather than to start with the customer. It doesn't make you a bad person, it's just, it makes you human.
We gotta take notes from Steve Jobs. He was challenged by a very blunt skeptic in the audience about what he'd been doing. And Steve, I'm paraphrasing, but Steve made this point that it's really easy to build a process around a product. It's harder to start with the end user and work backwards. But
Yeah.
we should do that.
What's that look like? I mean, I agree with you, and I think everybody listening agrees, but
How?
figuring out how to do it, how do you do
Yeah.
it?
So, okay. Ready? Let's get locked in.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is my point of view on it. There's a lot of different ways to do it, but this is how I would suggest that you, me, anybody listening would do this. Is become a really skilled practitioner of your industry, right? Not specific to your product. You and I are in the world of business development, right? And I
Yeah.
would say that you've done a really good job at this, Craig. Learning the different aspects of business development. There's so many. There's SEO, there's advertising, there's pipeline development, closing, opening, prospecting, email, blah, 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 blah. All of these are services that can be bought, studied, understood, and recommended, right? So, in order for you to start with the end user and build a process out of understanding the end user, you need to become a diagnoser. A diagnoser. So, if you and I are having a discovery meeting, and let's just say I'm sitting across from you and you're not the right fit for me, right? My job immediately is to stop pitching or stop sharing about my service and go deeper into detail about the nuances of your personality, how you prefer to be treated, how you prefer to sell, what the future of your business is, what might stop you from getting there, and try to get as much good stuff as I can and diagnose what you actually need to grow your business, even if it's not mine. Now, this is where it becomes a, I know, everybody says this, Steve. What happens next? Here's what happens next. You need an ecosystem of professionals around you that can solve the needs that you diagnosed and pre-qualified. So now I'm sending referrals,
Right.
right? And this sounds great, but if I said, Craig, if I send you 10 referrals this year, like, I don't think you believe in tit for tat, but how top of mind am I for you?
Absolutely.
It's going to come back tenfold for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not worried about it. The math supports it. It's going to happen. As long as I choose my ecosystem of professionals correctly, right? If you're myopic and you're your product only, we're probably not going to be referring back and forth very long.
No, I mean, I have somebody you know who is about to quit getting introductions from me. Made a monster introduction for this
That's a
person.
shame. Craig's a big introducer, everybody.
Yeah. I'm not going to give it too many details,
Right.
because you'll figure out quickly who I'm talking about, but it was a monster introduction. What probably the most valuable introduction I've ever given. That had the biggest impact on their business. And I've been making introductions for this person 6, 9 months. I've not gotten a single one back. And
Wow.
I had to hear about that, the power of that introduction. I had to hear about it secondhand. I had someone else tell me the how valuable of an introduction that was, not the person I made the introduction to.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, this is stuff you have to be careful of. And we start to get into the nuances of introducing people around and building this ecosystem out. And you have to apply filters to the kind of people you like to work with. Do they match certain personality, which I call personal fit filters, and professional fit filters, which is, think of those as LinkedIn filters. You can easily look them up on LinkedIn, how big the company is and all that stuff.
Right.
But
Yeah.
yeah.
But I mean, so, but that ties into what you were talking about is, and I generally just enjoy making introductions. It makes me feel good.
Me too.
But if I only have so many, you're talking about building this little network. So give me an idea. What are some of the titles of the people that would be in that network, that you're introducing?
Well, so me in the space that I'm in, which is giving people coaching people through pipeline and relationship and pipeline development, right? Leveraging relationships and tracking how to monetize them to get referrals in a controllable manner. That's what I do, right? But I'm all fit for only this many people, right? So I actually need an SEO specialist, a pay-per-click specialist, an opener, a cold caller, a closer. I need the web designer. And I can have multiple fits for each one, or multiple people for each of those industries. Fractional CRO, fractional chief sales officer, all the sales coaches, tons of people that fit this different space. And then I select out of that group, a bigger group, a curated group of people who I would send introductions and referrals to more often. There's some
No,
secret. There's some secret sauce there, but you're on there, Craig.
and
Right?
no, I think you're absolutely right. And it's in the green room, we were talking about somebody that I won't refer. And the and it's because I don't trust how they'll show up. And I think one of the things, if I'm hearing you correctly, one of the things you're showing is if you want people referring you, and if you want people to refer you, it's all the first step is how you show up for them.
Very, very much so. And this is something that people like hear it. They're like, yeah, duh. But then they don't do it, Craig. Like, it's wild.
So if you're coaching people, how should they show up? for their potential referral partners?
I think it's actually two types of people. First time meetings, right? And referral partners, right? First is diagnose who that person is or could be to your business and the business of your chosen, curated group of professionals. Who is this person to me? Right? It doesn't have to be lead. Every single relationship can be monetized and leveraged in a really positive, profound way. So step number one is you go into this meeting thinking to yourself, okay, is Craig a lead? No, we don't do that. We go into this meeting thinking, who is Craig? How can I help Craig? What does Craig need tomorrow? What does Craig need a year from now? What are the people, who are the people I need to help Craig surround himself with? Do I have those people? If I don't have those people, what can I do to get those people on Craig's behalf? Like, these are just questions to ask, and that's how you show up, right? And for prospects, it's really, really similar. You just start diagnosing what's needed. I'm trying to outwardly explain what's clear in my head. I have an SOP for all this stuff, but I hope it makes sense.
No, I mean, it makes sense to me, the starting point. An analogy I use, I think, I was in the Marines, and the Marines are excellent marksmen, and one of the things they taught us, and they had us recite mantras: put the clear tip of the front sight post on the blurry able target. And the point was, if you focus on the target, you're not going to be a brilliant marksman. Your focus has to be on the front sight post at the end of the rifle. Now, this is old school. I think the kids use scopes now, but they.
Scopes. No, but I know exactly what you mean because we don't have scopes on us. Right? Yeah, so I know what you mean.
But it's where you're putting your focus. And I think too many people put the focus on the target. Obviously, if you're in business, the target is to grow your business.
100%. Let's be real about that. Let's not ignore the fact that we're here to make money, make an impact, put food on the table, provide. Yep, I agree.
But using the Marine analogy, if you want to be one of the best marksmen in the world, you're not going to get there by focusing on the target. You're going to focus on something else. And if I'm hearing you right, that something else is serving the person you're in front of, serving them maximally, trying to figure out what they need, not if they, not trying to wedge your product or your service into their life, regardless of whether they need it or not.
Right, 100%. Yep, mic drop, episode over.
Well, so let me talk about, before we wrap up, there's one thing I absolutely want to talk about, and this is a challenge I face every day. My to-do list is always longer than I have hours in the day. And I don't think I'm unique in that.
No, you're not. Not at all. Guilty.
How do I tackle that? How do I prioritize?
Man, you're asking the wrong guy, but I can give you my best. I can give you my best answer. And mine is core value driven. I brought my wife on to help with the family business, and we had to get serious about personal and professional delegation and not letting the two overlap because we don't take accountability from one another particularly well, right? As you can imagine. But I told her, I was like, hey, she's slightly less entrepreneurial minded than I am, but we're both cut from the same cloth. And I said, hey, there's a vision here, and I really need your help. I'm just waiting for you to wake up and realize it. And one day she woke up and realized it, and I brought her on. And the vision, Craig, is to have me doing this and meetings and vision, sales, marketing, planning the future, and have her take care of ops and admin. And so my suggestion is find someone like that who is willing to grow with the company. She gets a raise every time we get revenue. I literally put her on payroll. You know what I mean? And to eventually get her in a position where she trains somebody to tackle all the admin stuff that she is being trained on right now so that she can take an even more important role. Find someone like that.
And that lets you make sure you're always talking to people.
That's all I want to do. It took me a long time to realize that my skill set is listening, influencing, and I'm driven by impact. So I should spend all my time doing it.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, Steve, this has been awesome. Appreciate you coming on Leaders and Legacies. How can folks reach
Thanks,
you?
man. I'm always on LinkedIn. You can reach me at Stephen Wallace on LinkedIn, B2B RevCo, or steve@b2brev.co. Reach out anytime. I like to share ideas, and yeah, that's how you can reach me.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Thanks, Craig. This is great. You're on a great show.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.